If you were watching last night's TV show, you will have seen an interview with Paul Gascoigne, one of the most famous footballers of our time, without a doubt. Because of telly, we could only bring you 12 minutes of it. I sat down with him for a long, long time. So we've got an opportunity in the radio show this morning to hear a lot more of Paul talking frankly about battling his demons, press intrusion and dealing with life after football. I started the interview by commenting on how well he was looking in comparison to some of the images that have been in the papers.
Yeah, well, you see these models who get touched up. Well, I get touched down in the papers, you know, they make us look minging. But no, you know, I'm probably the first one to admit that. You know, I've had me ups and downs and some blips, but if I have a little blip for a few days, then all of a sudden it lasts for years, or the press keep going on and seeing this and on. It's not like months on end, it's like the odd bad when I let things get to this, which I shouldn't really, because I know the consequences, you know.
What does that mean, Paul, the odd blip? What does a blip mean?
Getting smashed. No, a blip is like I've been sober for like 9 months and then, you know, then I go on the drink for a couple of days, which I really hammer it. And then obviously I'm drunk and then I depress, have a go at this and pay the consequences. Then I stop and get myself well and start training, and, you know. But it's mostly when, like I said, I don't mind when the press follows. I don't mind that at all. I can handle that.
Are they hounding you?
Yeah, they're hounding us all the time, you know. I had work coming up and then the print lies. And then I let it get to this and I thought, well, I can't win either way. It's probably the first time I let them win, you know.
So what you're saying is people are going out to destroy you. Rather than you killing you, people are out to kill you.
They did it to Lady Diana. They keep trying to me, but, you know, I just keep bouncing back. That's the only thing I can do, you know.
Do you really believe that? Do you think they're out to try to destroy you?
Yeah, well, there's a few, you know. Some are good. Some are press. I always say good publicity, all publicity is good publicity, but it all depends, you know. Like I said, they can write what they want about me. You know, it's just the lies, because I lose work from it. And sometimes in England, 80% of people believe what they read, you know. You know, and which I don't really want to think. I don't even like it anyway. It's just that sometimes numb the feelings.
What are the feelings, Paul, that you're trying to numb?
Well, one is, you know, everyone has to work for a living, and I don't play football anymore. And so, you know, you and I look after some people as well. I mean, like, I was in the countryside for 3 months, yeah, and seeing my kids and that. And in them 3 months, the press wrote, I was in Boscombe, yeah. And I'm in London, by the way, for 3 months, no problem. After an op, and they said, like, I was jumping off a pier to kill myself. I was falling out of a casino drunk, with money falling in pockets, was untrue. There was about 4 stories, it was untrue. And then by the time you sue them, it takes a year and a half. By that time, the damage is already done, you know. So it was just all that, and that was just, no one was like, how can you win?
What you said a matter of moments ago there's just stuck with me. They tried it with Diana, and now they're doing it to you.
Yeah, because, you know, the situation with Diana, trying to race like mad to get rid of them. You know, and look what happened to her, you know. I didn't think they went out deliberately to kill themselves, so it was disastrous, you know. And, like, you know, and also, yeah, I found out my phone was getting hacked again. It was just horrendous, you know, all the things that you get scared to use the phone. But then again, if I'm winning damages like I am, you don't mind, you know. I wouldn't mind getting hacked every month. Because I can't hide anything. People know I've took cocaine years ago, 12 years ago. People know I've, like, you know, been drunk. You know, my whole life story is, like, been well documented, you know. So I don't really think I've got anything to hide.
Yeah, you know, it's not about privacy for you, because you're a household name wherever you go. It's about personal space for you, right?
I'm a normal guy, you know. I just want a normal life. And it's like you've got, like, Rooney and Gerrard and Lampard and Messi and Ronaldo all playing on the top level now. I mean, all on top of the game and that. And I'm the one that seems to be hitting the headlines all the time.
Well, you were as good a footballer as anybody else.
No, better.
And here's Gascoigne. Brilliant play! Oh! Take a bow for that. That's unbelievable. You won't see a better goal than that in any international tournament. Gascoigne leaving Hendry completely and smacking it in past Andy Gorham.
So when you think about those guys who did hold it together so far, when you didn't,
yeah, when,
does that hurt? Do you compare yourself?
When did I not? People are, if you compare us in the 15, 19 years of football, untouchable. You know, it was only all these stories have been coming since I quit. when I played, you know, obviously the right things, but I always could put it right in 90 minutes, you know. I always say sometimes, you know, I might take 90,000 upset one guy, but one guy in 90 minutes can upset 90,000. But it, all this has just come is when I back playing, you know. None of this was written when I played. So it was mostly when I quit playing, you know, that it hit me.
What hit you? Describe the feeling when, what the magic that you had, this skill that very few other human beings have, Paul.
Well, I get it.
That you can't do it anymore.
And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and there's like nothing there. It's empty. You think, well, how can I fill this in? You know, I've got nothing to do now. So I was looking for something to fill that gap in. And then
people don't understand, do they? Well, it's like when it all stops, boom, it's gone.
Well, you know, people call me an entertainer and that, and I like laughing a joke like everybody else, but, you know, you had no one to entertain and all of a sudden you have nothing.
What did that feel like?
That was horrific. I remember making the phone call to Chris Waddle and I said, Chris, listen, I'm not going to play anymore. And then I lost my breath. I couldn't speak to him. I couldn't get me... I took a panic attack and I put the phone down and I went to see the doctor and they put me on some tablets to stop the panic attacks, which I had them for about 6 months afterwards. And then, you know, then you have to realise you're not playing anymore. What's next? What can I look to do, you know? And then that's
when... Did you not have people around you that would guide you, that would look after you at that time?
Yeah, well, I just felt like, you know, when I was at school, the teachers looked after... When I was young, my mum and dad looked after us at school, the teachers looked after us. And then, you know, then when I was a footballer, you had the coach looking after you, the manager, and then you had the secretary. So I was looked after all the time. And then all of a sudden, so when you finish playing, then you get a cheque. I mean, you get a bill through the post. I was another one. So I remember ringing my sister up. I had a gas bill for about 40 quid or something. Lindsay, Anna, how do I do this? It was embarrassing, you know, because everything was done for you as a footballer. And then you realise you have to start doing things yourself.
So when people look back on your life, I guess they wonder if you had have gone to Man United, if Sir Alex Ferguson had have been in charge, would your whole life have been different? Would you not be sitting here now like this?
Obviously, Sir Alex Ferguson, who wouldn't want to work for him? You know, at that time, Man United hadn't really won much, and neither did Sir Alex with 7 years. And it was when all them young kids got together, Scholesy and Bex and Nicky Button and Neville Bros.
Do you regret not going?
No, not really, because at that time,
really?
We finished higher than the Spurs, but it was like, you know, and then Spurs, I always wanted, my family worked hard, my mum and dad, to, you know, even put a slice of bread on the table. And when Spurs offered me family a house, and Man United wouldn't match it, it was just my mum and dad that wanted to look after more than anything, regardless of what I was given. But then Terry Venables said, look, you know, and the fact that Chris Waddle was at Spurs and Glenn Rutter was influences, and then the offer that my sister's sunbed, that was important. Oof.
Your sister's sunbed?
Yeah, she wanted a sunbed in the contract, which she got. And my dad went, well, Paul, the house we've looked at is quite nice and it's got a garage, so I need a car as well. So they got that. But then, you know, Alex Ferguson went off it with it. Oof. Obviously, I went to Tottenham.
You seriously don't regret not playing for Man United?
But sometimes you do think that. Would I have been a player like the rest of them, been there, and then been there for 12 years and become eventually, you know, steel? But they won so much in that time. Eventually, when I left, went to Lazio, and then they stopped winning things, you know. But Terry Venables said, you know, you come to Tottenham, I guarantee you in 10 games you'll be playing for England. And more than anything, I really wanted to play for my country. And after 8 games, I played for England, you know.
For everyone watching this tonight, they will...
Hiya.
You mention England and they'll remember how much it mattered to you with those tears in the semi-final.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was like... I always said to everyone, the FA Cup was more important than the World Cup to me when I was younger. You know, I always wanted to walk up them stairs, and when we got to the final and I only lasted 12 minutes, it was gutted.
Gascoigne is down. And the Tottenham physio rushing onto the pitch. Now we have all sorts of drama here. He looks to be in a bad way and the substitute is already being prepared. Early in this cup final, with Spurs still not having really recovered from the shell shock of the Stuart Pearce goal, they lose the man whose individual performances were so responsible for getting them to the cup final.
The World Cup was just there. I took it as if it was a boys' club. And I loved it. And the most, you know, it was the fans, really, because I was going well. But even though away fans, I used to win them over easily. And it was just, at the end of it, I thought I was going to make the cup final. But then you just, when the fans start singing your name, you know, it's quite emotional. And then you get into the final, you think you're going to miss the final. But there was 20 minutes left, and I just thought, OK, just do it for the guys, you know. And I did really well as well in the last 20 minutes. But I couldn't stop the tears because I loved football. When I was 17, I played did the first season in Newcastle, and the season finished. And I'm only 17. And I started crying in the pub with my dad. And he said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "My football's over with." I thought that was the end of my career because it was split up for a month. And I wanted to just train all the way through. And then obviously got playing again. And I felt that it was the World Cup, you know. I thought, that's it, my career's over with, even though I was just only 22 and a half. And I thought, I'll never have that feeling being in the World Cup again, because we did really well and being with other players. And that's me, you know, me with a few players around us in the football, that would keep me happy for life.
It's so dangerous, that feeling, isn't it? Because that feeling of, you know, like hand to glove, of you fitting in to what you do, what you were born to do, when you don't experience that feeling anymore, that's where presumably the drink, the pain, the hurt, the emptiness is coming from. What is it? What is that feeling? Spell it out.
Loneliness, fear of the unknown. Because I knew for 19 years what I was doing on a Saturday. I knew what I was doing in training. I knew what I was doing with the football. When you finished all that, it's the unknown. What's wrong? Like tomorrow, I don't know what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's not loneliness, is it? You know, that's fame, and that's this football world. What do you mean lonely?
If you're in the papers not doing something good, or you're
I've had it.
Yeah, and if you're not a nice guy, then who wants to knock around with you?
But where did you become isolated in that? Did no one call?
No, I made myself isolated, you know, because I didn't want to be around anybody. I just felt, you know, who wants to sit with a miserable guy? And there's been times, you know, over the last 6 years, I've been quite miserable, but only for a couple of days. And it's like, it's me that I've got to get myself out of it. Yeah, people say I'm depressed. What is depressed? And I've never been depressed. I've just been down. If I'm depressed, I just go out and I see a tramp sitting on the street. I see someone walking through the streets begging for money. You know, they're the ones that are depressed. God bless them, you know.
You've constantly in this interview talked about the press. Can the press really destroy an individual?
I just say to people now, it's like, if you want to run this country, go and buy a camera with a long lens. You know, you go and you can do anything you want in this world. The police won't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it. And like I said, if a lady dies, I can't do anything about it. What chance have we got? I should know better because I've had it since I was 17. But I've always had an escape route, i.e. football. This one, I don't. It's harassment, you know. It's like, I follow us for 3 days, whatever, but not every day, you know, for months on end. They're constantly there, you know.
Let's talk, if you don't mind, about the drink. You said earlier you didn't like the taste of it.
I didn't like the taste of the drink. No, well, my favourite drink is pina colada, but that's fattening. So I've got to work hard in the gym for that.
I'm a specialist at that.
No, it's, you know, it wasn't when I was playing football, it was when I finished, you know. Who knows, I might have a drink tomorrow. I'm not sure. I'm not drinking today, I know that's... But I might have a drink tomorrow.
How did you discover you were an alcoholic?
I was drunk. And I was drunk and I woke up at 5 o'clock and I wanted a drink badly. So I had a drink at 5 o'clock and I thought...
In the morning?
Yeah, and I thought maybe that's just the hair of the dog. And then I was okay. And then the next morning, I woke up at the same time and all I was thinking about was a drink. And then obviously when you speak to a sponsor, and mine was Steve Spiegel, the sponsors that you have, you realise that that's a sign of an alcoholic. And I went, what's an alcoholic? And I went, you. And then I went, wow. But in a way, I was pleased because I wanted to know why I was doing this.
So you stay off the drink and you've cracked it and you then go back to it again. That must be a real downer.
Yeah, first...
You know, I guess the feeling of failure.
Well, not failure, no. It's an illness I've got. It's not failure, it's an illness. And I give in to the illness.
So you said you're not drinking for taste. You don't like the taste of it. So why are you drinking? It's numbing something, right?
Just feelings. I'm not just... But you just think... It's not numbing. I think it's more like... Sometimes I think, I wonder if I could have a drink and be happy and have a laugh. like I used to when I was younger, you know, having a few beers and having a laugh and get drunk and be all right. But it's not. It's like drink, drunk, and that's it. Poof. I was looking for that laugh I used to have, you know, when I had a bevy. And it's not there anymore.
You're looking for the happiness that you once had when...
I was playing, but it's amazing because when I'm sober like this, and I've been sober for a while now, it's like, it was as good, you know.
Let me let you inside my head. Pretty dangerous place to be. You're charismatic. You're a nice guy. You're looking fit. You're looking healthy. And yet the image that has been planted in my head, yeah, by the press, was that photograph of you when the alcohol had gripped you and you looked like a really old man.
Yeah, I looked mean, didn't I? Well, it was a mad binge for about 3 days, for 5 days. And that was 6 months ago. And I'd been doing well for about 6 months. And then it was a mad, mad whack. And it was, you don't realise it until it was not long ago. I looked at the photos, I went, who's that? And I went, it's you, Paul. I went, wow.
Does it hurt when you look at that photo, or does it...
Yeah, embarrassing. When I look at it, I mean, I wish I had a haircut, and then we had to look at the photo. But no, when you look at it, you're going, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. Then something you don't even remember.
Scary.
Yeah, that's the scary part of it.
So many incidents with drink, wasn't there? You tortured Louis Walsh. Louis's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, Louis. And I ring him up, it was like 12 o'clock at night, not knowing he was American. And Louis, get me on next fat, and I'll sing an Elvis song. You know, bro, hound dog. And he was 4 o'clock in the morning.
You would sing to him?
Yeah, sing to him. Get me on. And he said, Paul, it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, America. I'm trying to get some sleep, man. I called us back in the morning. I say, okay. And I put the phone down. And 5 minutes later, oh, Louis, listen to this one. I said, can't you see? I love you. Please. Would not. No, no, no. And then I left about 15 calls or something halfway through the album. I'll just get you on it. I'll get you on it. Okay, then cheers for that. And then I put the phone down.
Yeah, we've been talking about big household names, you and I. You know, the big iconic footballer names that we all know. Are they good to you? Wayne Rooney, for example, is he good to you? Is he friendly with you?
They have to, because I'm a national treasure. I love saying that. Just somebody said that very high up in the FA. Brilliant. I love it. Now, Wayne's good. He's a bit upset with him at the moment because he owes me 40 quid. Is it 20 or 40, Terry? 20 quid.
Wayne really owes you 20 quid?
Yeah, when I was 11 and he was only 14. And Colin Holloway, the manager, said, because I watch his kid, he's 14, playing with him on the 19th. And you think, ah, all right then, because I used to watch the young kids play before going to play for Everton. And there's 20 minutes ago and we're getting beat 1-0 and he come on, it was semi-final, so he scored 2 unbelievable goals. So afterwards I went in the dressing room, I says, well done, you's lot. I says, right, anybody want to lend any money? I said, I got 20 quid. When Rooney went, I'll wear it. And I remember giving him 20 quid and he went, I'll get on the drink now. And I went, he's got a future.
It would be human nature for someone like you to be looking at footballers these days. Let's take Wayne Rooney as an example. And the wealth that he has, and the wealth that he hasn't squandered away, the wealth that he hasn't lost, you've got to contrast yourself to what you don't have, to what those guys who were no more talented than you do have, right?
No, not at all. For the flack he's took and still doing brilliant for Man United and England, he deserves every penny he gets, you know?
Yeah, but money's important, isn't it?
Of course it is.
So when you see those guys and they've got it and they've got their big houses, they've got everything that you once had that you no longer have, does that hurt?
No, not at all, because I had that. It was me that lost it.
Yeah, but you've lost it, Paul.
I lost it. No, Wayne Rooney didn't lose it for us or anybody else, you know. My family, it was me. I got divorced. You know, it happens with everyone. But there's nothing stopping us from getting all that again, you know. It's what I do with myself, you know. You know, people always say sometimes the more money you've got, the more trouble you've got. I found that anyway. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy today. I'm loving life. Yeah, really happy. I've got a smile on my face.
This might be a wee bit off territory, so tell me to clear off if you want. But what about love? How important is that?
I really appreciate the love that the public shows. You know, that's priceless.
I'm not talking about the public, you see. I'm talking about someone just for you, away from all of this world of fame and public and everything. What about you.
The thing is,
will you fall in love again? Is what I'm trying to ask.
Hopefully. You know, people say.
Are you desperate to meet someone? Is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, Irish one. I wouldn't mind meeting an Irish woman.
What about Belfast? Have you been?
Yeah, I went to Belfast, and that was when I did the sash in our diary after his. And
why did you do that?
I don't know what it really meant, but the first time, so I got let off with it. But the second time, I knew, and the Celtic fans were harassing us, and so I did the sash thing, and not knowing how really bad the sash meant. And then when I got the letter from the IRA, we're going to kill.
What did the letter say?
He just said, "Aye, guys, I've seen what you've done, sorted nicely." And he says, "If you do that again, I'll kill you."
So this guy wrote, "He will kill you."
Yeah. And he was probably IRA. The CIA men come back and said, "Yes, IRA is going to kill you, Paul, but we can't do anything until he comes to Scotland." So I'm panicking. I'm thinking, oof. So they showed us how to look under my car for bombs. And the copper says, "Be careful of the mail you open because it could explode." So I rang Jimmy Fivebelly's up. I said, "Jimmy, what are you doing for work at the moment?" He went, "Nothing." I said, "Well, I'll give you 100 quid a week if you open me mail." And he did it. So I'm like, I'm hoping one of these letters will blow up in his face. But he did it all the time. And so I went on the newspapers and told him about it. And Jimmy lost his job. He's lost his dole money because he said he was working for me.
What are your dreams for the future, Paul?
I would like to think, stay the way I am for the start. You know, I think keep helping others. You know, I really want to help others. Hopefully find.
How can you do that? What do you mean?
Just like, even just by being well, you know, it makes a lot of people happy. But as an alcoholic, we have to do certain things. And I try and do three good deeds a day, you know, whether it's helping someone with a fiver, buying someone a sandwich. Sometimes I go into second-hand shops and I buy some clothes and give them to the people on the streets. But the main thing is, you know, just be happy in life, you know, because there's so many unfortunate people out there.
So for the rest of your life, Paul, what do you want to achieve? What's in your head?
I'm doing it, talking to you. Take your job. No, I'm happy what I'm doing. And I've been offered by Jose Mourinho, Harry Redknapp, Alex McLeish, David Moyes, and go and work with them.
So Jose Mourinho offers you a job?
To go and watch him train and learn stuff and that from him and that.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, sometimes it's just hard for me, is whether I go back in and then all of a sudden, I get attached a little bit to it. And then because I knew how bad it was for them 4 years where I did quit. And then four years weren't happy. I miss it so badly. It's like now I hardly watch many games because it's like I wish I was playing again, you know?
Actually, I get it. So you're frightened to go back again because it'll remind you what you'll miss when it all stops again.
A free kick to Spurs, a good 30 yards from goal, and Paul Gascoigne is lined up from a central position with Vinnie Samways just to the right of the ball, although it's Gascoigne moving towards it now, drives it indirect. Oh, it's a great goal from Paul Gascoigne!
Yeah, because it's like he's had so much joy and pleasure, and that is whether I go there and then all of a sudden just watch how it was, and it may just bring back the past, and the past has gone for me. I had me times, I loved it. I achieved so much as a footballer. You know, and I think I was sometimes one of the best players in the world.
But you think it, you were.
Yeah, well, I was, yeah, obviously. I mean, I was waiting for you to say that. But then you look, being a manager, as a player, I wanted to be better than Maradona or whatever, say, or Pelé. You always look at these teams, you know, whether I was or not, it's another thing. As a manager, you think, right, now, as a manager for me, I want to be better than Fergie and I want to be better than Jose Mourinho. And you think you had Widder. And I think, no, I wouldn't be anywhere near them.
So when you're watching, you're constantly thinking, I could do that better.
Yeah, it is. You know, I watch it and then I look, I'm better than him. I was better than him. I could have done that. I would have done that. So I'll just, the whole match goes through my mind. You know, why didn't you just pass it there? There's been loads of games where I've went, travelled 3 hours, sat in the stadium. After 15 minutes, I'm in the car going home again.
Paul, there's a big smile on your face and it's been a pleasure meeting you today. And you're doing well and I hope you continue to do well.
I appreciate it and thanks to all yous in Ireland. He's done you a good favour there. Don't do this for anybody. Enjoy, I'll see you soon. Love to all the girls.
That's Paul Gascoigne. You can give us your reaction to that this morning. 08459 555 678. I'm going to steal a line here from someone that's just tweeted me a direct message privately and said, it's amazing how many tortured souls are genuinely decent, good people down, deep down. And if you listen to Gascoigne there and you watch him on telly. It just strikes me that there is a tortured soul who is decent and genuine behind it.